Money FM 89.3, best of weekends.
Alvin Toe, the head of international operations at Straits Interactive, is joining us now. And Straits Interactive took a look at this curve of convenience report that came out recently, where 75% of Asia-Pacific consumers feel that either their government or business are more responsible for personal data than they feel that they either their government or a business are more responsible for personal data than they currently are. Alvin, thanks for joining us on Weekend Mornings. What a massive and important topic this is, isn't it? Personal data privacy and security.
Hey, good morning, guys. So funny, your show is so hilarious. So, yeah, you're mentioning election. This topic of personal data made headline news in the previous election. You remember the Facebook thing?
It did indeed. Yeah, it did indeed.
And yeah, we're still not so really out of the woods. We're not out of the woods yet, are we? They haven't solved the problem, if I can put that in quotes.
No, but the fines have jumped up phenomenally. It's gone from millions to, you know, now into the hundreds of millions. So since that election, you've seen the world suddenly caught on. Hang on a minute. Where's my personal data going? Me, you can manipulate me. And then how come my friend's data can be taken off because I filled some survey on Facebook, right? So this is a big news now.
Alvin, you know, this idea of our digital lives, our digital footprint, our personal security online is nothing new. It's been talked about for many years now. But I still get a sense that people don't truly understand, or maybe is it that they just don't care about how much of their personal life, their personal data is shared, you know, every time they click yes to an app. Do you get a sense that people truly understand what's at stake with their personal data?
Yeah, I think until high-profile cases like that particular one, and in fact, you were talking about a Netflix show, you know, The Great Hack was actually talking about that, right? And that showcases how your personal data is being used. And in fact, even Netflix has recently come up with another movie, I think The Social Dilemma.
Yes.
Right? Talking about how you're manipulated based on your personal data and habits on the social media. The greatest fan on Facebook for Money FM would know.
Yeah, I know, right?
So, on that point, Alvin, I mean, what are some of the, for the benefit of our listeners and viewers, what are some of the different types of data breaches that we should be looking for, that we should be aware of every time we click online or go on our phone?
Okay, so a few things. In this part of the world, we haven't seen much, I guess, coverage on this thing called the identity theft, right? I think in the Western world side, in the dark web, your identity being sold, and people can actually set up, you know, loans and set up credit lines in your name if they have enough data points that is used for verification.
Right.
So, give you an example. You know, in Singapore, for example, we had the hack about the medical data, right?
Yep.
Those are unchanging attributes. Losing your credit card, you can change your credit card. But if you have your medical data, those are fixed attributes about you. You know, that's why the $1 million fine went on to the SingHealth case, right? And it's sensitive data. So that is something that the people don't realize that, you know, you actually can have your identity stolen and then people can do a lot of harm based on your profile. And just to give you a sense of how much it costs or how much it's valued, credit card details probably go versus medical data is 4 times difference. So if credit card details was like 50 cents, your medical data is worth about 4 or 5 times that, you know. So that is how it's being sold in the dark web, right? So in Singapore, we already have seen major breaches where I think right now, medical information, the whole digitization, you're going to, you know, we're talking about this COVID thing, right? The whole digitization of companies, many of them are using apps and all that. So it's a lot of personal data being collected, right? I think if you watch Social Dilemma, you realize that how fast you scroll and what they do and all that, your profile the minute you get online, right? So what can you, how can they do in terms of the breaches? Well, you're starting to key in all your passwords, your buying behaviors, your financial data into apps so that it's convenient to log on. And some people have one password for many accounts. Do you guys?
I do actually. Right. Yeah. I know. No. I shouldn't. He's better than I am. I have two passwords that I rotate. I am that guy.
Neil,
yes.
1, 2, 3, 4. Oh, shoot. Sorry. Yeah. I shouldn't have said that.
I am that guy. Yes. And I know. I know. I know.
So when we look at that, Alvin, and we're speaking with Alvin Toe, the head of international operations at Straits Interactive, since we're all not going to delete our apps and all that sort of stuff, your suggestion is obviously different passwords for everything, but also should we be limiting the amount of access? For example, if an app wants access to our camera, our video, our whatever, should we be saying no to those things? How should we protect ourselves within the world that we all live in?
Good question, Glenn. We actually published at Straits Interactive a study that we did, I think 2 years ago. It's published in Straits Times, and we've done that across a few countries. That survey was that we actually did a study on the top 100 apps per country in Singapore. And, you know, the shocking finding was that the top 100 apps, it could be banking apps, it could be, your MRT app and all that, right? Mm. A majority of them could potentially flout fell short of the expectation of the Personal Data Protection Act. Okay. Exactly what you mentioned. I'll give you an example, Glenn. We found that one of the apps is a financial banking app. Our Singapore app versus another international app. You know the difference in terms of permissions needed is 5 times more.
Wow.
So the financial banking app. And they wanted your camera, your location, access to your SMS. Why would they do that, right? So
your address, usually it's your address book as well, issues. And different things like that, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. Why would you need that, right?
Why do they
just
need
want
that?
To find the ATM, right? So So that is one of the biggest things, is that the companies here, as they get onto these apps, it's very easy to just say, okay, I love this profiling stuff, and then I turn on everything. But you don't realize the consumer doesn't know why you need it. And that's where the rules of the Data Protection Act comes in, because it can't be really nearly trying to grab all the data. Hopefully you can do something targeted, but the consumer doesn't know what you're doing with it. And that's where the companies fall afoul of the law. And that's where many companies right now are unaware that all this digitization that's going on. You actually have to declare, why are you asking for all this permission? Previously on the website, just asking for your email and your name. But on the phone, I don't know whether me and Glenn, you actually read all the small text before you activate the app. You don't, right? So yeah, yes, 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 go. And here you have 10 more permissions, which you normally don't see when you're on the website. Hmm. Right? So that is the miss we see right now. Companies digitizing don't realize the amount of information they're collecting is a lot more personal. They need to declare it. They need to know how to assure the customers they're protecting it and who they're sharing it with. And that's the new discipline in this new order. Yeah.
Yeah. And I suppose related to that, COVID-19 is a bit of a double hammer blow in some ways to personal data security, because on the one hand, more people are digitized, if you like, than ever before, conducting meetings and heaven knows what else on digital media because we're working from home. And the second thing is, the sad thing is, that in Singapore, maybe less so, but more so across the world, economies are not doing too well. Money is scarce. More people are vulnerable. On a personal note, I'm getting more text messages and WhatsApp messages from loan sharks, Arlongs, than ever before. It's almost a daily occurrence now. Do you want money? I can give it to you at this percentage interest rate and so on. And yes, I block them. So, but this is definitely increasing during COVID-19. I mean, what impact has COVID-19 had on privacy breaches, do you think?
Okay. Well, that's a loaded question, Ernie. So
that's why we're here.
That. Okay. So, COVID-19. First, let's look at what the impact for you and me, right, who are actually, are working in companies. Overnight, we've had to do work from home. Yeah. Last time, just before the lockdown, we had to go and measure people's temperature, right? And then, restaurants, right? You get to go and fill in your temperature and your name. Some of them don't want to hold a pen. They ask you to write down your name, right? After they measure your temperature. Well, guess what, Neil? I mean, if you're number 10, Glenn, you can see 1 to 9, right? Hmm. Their phone numbers and their temperature. That's personal data exposed. The minute somebody wrote it. So, see, companies aren't trained. That, you know, this is simple, nothing even to do with any e-commerce at that point, right? So right now, we have this safety management thing that, you know, if you come to the office, you need to declare these things. There are a lot of new additional personal data we are now holding, which we never did before. So that is the contact tracing part of the business that's additional burden to them, right? And that comes under the purview of personal data protection. Second part, work from home. Many people are carrying their stuff back, you know, with their laptops. Some of them are working in the tablets, in their phones, and some of their tablets could be used by their kids. Who knows, right? And now you're having all your documents, whatever, at home. And some of the companies, they may not have laptops. They ask their employees to carry their PC, who was previously on the secure internal network, to put it in the house. So now the protection has moved, or the obligation to has moved to the edge outside of their network to the homes. And guess what? If you're working from home, Glenn and Neil, you know, who, you know, you get these pop-ups in terms of, hey, this thing, your computer is being compromised and it's at 8 p.m. at night. Who on earth do you call? Right? So that is the problem, where a lot of people at home right now aren't as well supported, and yet a lot of the data is sitting with them at home on their particular devices. They are well managed, and the escalation to support is a bit more challenging. So even at our company, you know, when we are training a lot of data protection officers, the work from home discipline in terms of getting new policies, how do they protect data, even my own company, we have to do updates probably on a monthly basis on this part, right? And then the next part you were mentioning, in terms of the COVID-19, what else did you mention just now? I mentioned these two areas. In terms of...
Well, just more, you know, the due to economic demands, people struggling, they're more susceptible to loan sharks, fraud, scams, that kind of thing.
Yeah, the Arlong thing. Yeah. Okay, so in terms of messaging, right? The interesting thing you pointed out, because the government, about 2 weeks ago, they actually, the Personal Data Protection Commission announced 5 potential revisions to the Personal Data Protection Act. Okay, so of note, they are going to put more accountability to companies and even individuals in the companies. The fines potentially could go up to 10% of your revenue. Wow. Now it's 1 million, right? So imagine if you are a $100 million company, 10% is a huge, huge impact. Second thing is that, like what you're receiving now, Neil, in terms of messaging, they are now, some of them are cleverly trying to go WhatsApp. Previously, there's a do not call registry, right? That says, you know, you can't text, you can't call. The people say, okay, I'm going to use WhatsApp, WeChat. That's not really text, is it? So now they're going to encompass that within email as well, so that, you know, you don't go and do this slicing. Oh, it's not there, not stated. So the government is very aware. People are trying to buy databases in this COVID. You know, they are trying to mine all kind of data and blasting it with all channels. So that is going to come in the new revision as well. And in fact, what you could do with the data, they are also putting more rules inside there. So there are about 5 revisions. In fact, even the breach notification, Glenn, you asked questions just now, right?
Yeah.
The responsibility on the firms now is that you may be put on a clock. 72 hours after, within 72 hours of a breach, you need to notify the regulator. So the question to the firms is that, do you know what to do and what do you report? Because some firms still have no right. Was there a breach? Who do I tell? But if you have a clock under the regulator and 72 hours you don't report, then you're in a breach of that notification obligation as well. Yeah, so that's why the discipline in terms of running data protection internally.
Certainly glad to hear that there's some new changes coming, potentially coming out, and people are getting a little bit more aware of these issues, because it is starting to get a little bit crazy out there. So more crazy, I should say. Alvin Toe, the head of international operations for Straits Interactive, thanks for being with us today on Weekend Mornings. And
all right, thanks, Lev.
Yep.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. or download the SBH Radio app, available on Google Play or the App Store.